Welcome to NFL Total Access, the locker room. I'm Michael Robinson, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Jeezy, Mike Garofolo. Jeezy, what's going down, big dog?
Let's go, man. The maiden voyage of the... We might have to rename this Mike. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, get it, man. We're going to let you guys in on what players and coaches really talk about inside the locker room. And today, we're talking to a 17-year veteran offensive tackle, Donald Penny. You guys aren't going to believe the Khalil Mack story he has for us. Yes, get your popcorn ready. Very entertaining, Jeezy.
And another guy who made the move from left to right tackle. I say another guy because it's happened before. And maybe the average fan thinks, hey, no big deal. You're just on the other side. Donald Penn explains what I've heard multiple times from guys who have made the adjustment. Maybe explains it better than anybody why it's such a big adjustment, especially if you're injured at the time.
What's up, big dog? Welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for having me, big Mike. Man, I appreciate that kind words from you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, always, dog. I remember hanging out with you in Oakland a little bit with Beast Mode and getting it in a little bit, man. But before we get into everything, all right, we start every episode with a locker room story, okay? Now, we're not talking about those PG-13 locker room stories that we do on Total Access on television. We're talking about behind the scenes, peel the layer back. You got to give us something nobody else knows, brother. It's your turn to bless the show with your locker room story.
Man, I got like a few, but I think this is probably the best, the most interesting one because a lot of people don't know about this. So, you know, in the locker room, you got those trash cans, right?
Yeah.
So we used to bring a basketball in. And, you know, this is like when, I think this is second year Khalil Mack was with us. So we used to shoot from the far end of the locker room in the basket, shoot. So, you know, it started as a friendly game, everybody in the locker room. Then we started betting on it, you know, so... This one time, it's like a Friday. You know, Friday, you up out of there, right?
You trying to get out of there. Yeah.
Man, it's this one Friday, me and Khalil, we in there 2 hours. We the last people in there. We in there 2 hours.
Into a trash can, Mike.
Into a trash can. This is before COVID, everything. We're taking the ball out the trash can. Yeah. You know, we're not thinking anything, but the story gets into it. Me and Khalil start betting. Because we so competitive, we both basketball. Man. We in there the 2 hours. You know, Friday, we're the last people in the building. Coach is gone. Even the trainers, they walking by locker room. Y'all still in there? Like, you know, Friday, everybody up. Me and Khalil in there for about 2 hours, man. I think we're going back and forth. But by the end, I think I ended up on Khalil like over $5,000.
Hold up, dog.
No. Like the shot, it got real.
For some trash can basketball, dog?
Oh. Man, shots started getting up to 300 a shot, then to 500 a shot. We're going back and forth. So, you met Khalil. You know, he's real quiet. You know, he keeps to himself. So Khalil didn't say nothing. But before Khalil left, he said, you know, he said, big homie, you know, yeah. I'm going to give you a chance to win your money back. You know, so he was going to give you a chance. So, you know, me, every day from that point on, Khalil, let me get my money back. But Khalil made me wait about 3 weeks before he let me. He rubbed it in. He made me wait about 3 weeks before he gave me a chance. I'm on it because, you know, nobody know it. Everybody on it. And Khalil just be laughing like, I'm like, oh, Khalil, you ain't going to tell him? He be laughing like, you know, everybody in the locker room be wondering why I'm on them every day. Like, let's get, because I'm playing with other people. I'm winning money from other people, giving it to him. Paying my debt off. But I wanted to win my money back from Khalil. So fine, 3 weeks later, we get it back going. And I get my money back, but it was over $5,000. I ain't tell you how much over, but it was always going to cut it at $5,000. But I ended up, by the time we started playing again, we're probably back four because I'm killing people in it. So every money I'm winning, I'm getting it to Khalil in the locker room.
Y'all take everybody laughing. Seriously, bro.
Everybody laughing. I got a shot. Everybody laughing like, why you keep giving Khalil money? But Khalil's so cool and smooth. Like, well, I love Khalil. He ain't giving me up. He ain't giving me up, you know? So finally, I finally get back to get my chance back. And I'm hot. We're going back and forth. Bop, bop, bop. So I'm getting up to 1,000 a shot. I'm trying to break even. You know, I'm not leaving. Get it. Boom. So finally, I get it back to where we break even, and then me and Khalil, we both look at it like, we're going to call it. But he would not let me. I was so mad because he took about 3-4 weeks before he let me actually and I'm paying them off a little $100 here. You know, yeah. I'm beating somebody in locker. I give them $100 here, $200 this day. You know what I mean? I'm paying my debt back, but it wasn't my money though. So that's why he wasn't really tripping. He would never take my money. I don't think he would ever want to take my money.
See, that looks like the type of game.
He would never take my money.
That looks like the type of game my boy Jeezy over here, he likes to play. See, Jeezy big money over here, man. My girl Folo, he big money over here. Tell him, Jeezy.
But he kept me going for 3 weeks like he was going to take my money. But and I'm paying him off steadily while I'm beating other people. I'm giving him, you know, a little $100 here, a little $300 here, giving it to him, and then $5. Like, we went back and forth, but like Khalil got a shot. We had some battles in the locker room though. Like, but nobody knew he stayed 2 hours later that one day. And I got my depth up. Like, he was, Khalil was on that day. It was shooting a trash can, grabbing the ball.
Yeah.
Not thinking no COVID, nothing back in those days.
what made you so confident you were going to win your money? Because it could have gone the other way. Could have been double instead of nothing, right? What made you so confident you were going to be able to come back and get it back?
I think by that season, I think Khalil already had about 8 sacks that season. So I knew. You know, coming out the second round pick, I was trying to get some money from Khalil. That's what my idea backfired on me.
Well, let me jump in because it leads us into what we want to talk about with Khalil. You were there when he got traded, and this was a popular locker room guy, an incredible talent. I know the rest of the league and media and everybody was scratching their heads. How could you let this guy go? Take me back there and take us to what's happening in the locker room when that goes down. And guys are looking at each other. They're saying, don't we need that? Don't we need that to win, to be competitive?
Man, that's I can talk about it now. You know, I'm retired now.
There you go.
Man, I'm sitting there thinking like, we didn't have this planned out 2 years ago. Like, we didn't have this. It should have been as soon as he's up. This is my thought. It should have been as soon as he's up. Okay, we already been planning this for you. We saw what was coming.
Yeah.
Everybody's here. We're going to put you between the first and top two. Boom. I thought that should have been. We had a contract already ready where we're going to be the second highest paid defense player in the league. They had 2 years knowing. What he did against Denver that year, when he brought us back by himself in the second half.
Oh, my goodness.
I love, but don't, you know, I love the Raiders. You know, I love them. But we dropped the ball on that one. I would have had that already ready and set in stone. I would have signed him before he wouldn't even made it that far. In my case, he wouldn't even made it that far. I would have signed him as soon as I could have resigned him. But we were sitting in the locker room and you know, we're trying to show face. You know how it is, Mike. Yeah. We're trying to show face. We're trying to say the right thing in the media when we get asked a question. But Mike, it was tough. It was tough, man. And it was real tough. We're looking at each other because we know how much of a game changer he is. We know how much we need him. I know for a fact, because I block him every game practice, how serious this dude is. And that we needed them, but, you know, I wish both of them would have addressed it different. I feel like a little bit of ego got into it with that being Coach Gruden's first year. And from what I'm hearing, not really ever having a personal phone call conversation with John Gruden before, just not showing up and holding out.
Did he never call Khalil?
I don't know. This is what I heard. I don't know if they ever really talked. So you got to understand me knowing Gruden from a long time. Gruden talks to a person. He likes to talk. You know, he likes to talk to you, explain where he's coming from, you know, give you an idea. And you know, I kind of think maybe Gruden might have thought Khalil was trying big time, you know? Maybe because the way stuff happened and they were saying talks were going, then it just got shut off. You don't shut off talks with a guy like that.
No.
That guy's a quarterback. A franchise quarterback type of defensive player. You know what I mean? So, in a locker room, we were really tough and devastated. Then when the trade, it was just like, we're on offense. Like, this is just, everybody's going to know, but we're on offense. Like, shit, we have to put up 50 points a game now. No, I'm just being real. Like, you know, that's how we're looking at going to that scene. Like, oh, we got to put up some points. And then, you know, I held out too. So I was talking to Khalil a lot, but Khalil was a different holdout than probably any holdout ever, because he knew his worth was through the roof. You know, it was no ifs, ands, or buts about who he was. You know, so I feel like he wanted to get the respect that he wanted. And I just felt like if they would have talked and had a couple of conversations instead of more of his agent handling it, because when I held out, my years, I talked to everybody.
Yeah.
Every time Reggie called me, I love Reggie McKenzie. Every time he called me, I answered the phone. Every time the coach called me, Jack Del Rio, when I was holding out during that time, Mike Tice, even Mark Davis, all those times they called me, I answered the phone. I expressed to them my feelings. So they always knew where I was in the big picture. They knew I always wanted to be a Raider. I don't know if they knew that from Khalil, because I was in a different predicament than Khalil. I grew up a Raider fan. I lived in L.A. I wanted to be a Raider. I grew up a Raider. Khalil was still young in his career. He fell in love with the Raider tradition and with the Raider love. But Khalil's, you gotta look at Khalil's looking like, if they're not going to give me what I should have already had because of what I did for this franchise, then I'm going to hold out and wait and sit still and know that they got to budge first. If not, somebody else is going to give it to me. And look what happened.
Yeah.
Somebody else gave it to him. But go ahead.
I would add this right here, because knowing Joel Siegel, who is Khalil Mack's agent.
Used to be my agent.
I didn't know that.
Joel was my guy.
Okay. Yes, so you know too, Joel understands the business side of things and how to maximize your leverage. I would be willing to bet whatever Donald Penn wound up losing to Khalil Mack that first day that he was talking about playing basketball, I'd be willing to bet all of that. That Joel told Khalil, don't you talk to the team, I'll handle this. And in the end, from a financial standpoint,
it worked out.
It worked out. It was a good strategy because it eliminated that communication between. Now, listen, it's different for you, Donald. I understand. But yeah, exactly. I guarantee you that was the strategy.
But, and if you look at it, for me too, when I was holding out, I went back early probably because I got persuaded enough by talking to them all the time and talking to my teammates so much. I'm like, fuck, I'm letting them down. They need me. You know, we just came off that best year the year before that. And I was kind of mad anyway that Oakland should approach me on their own anyway. You know, I came when nobody wanted to be a Raider. When I came to sign, well, nobody wanted to be a Raider, did? Nobody wanted to be a Raider. Nobody. Nobody. They brought me in a guy or two, really, and then that draft class really turned things around with my help. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to be a Raider then. And I outperformed.
You're right, DP. Like, so why did you want to sign that one deal, that one day contract to retire? I mean, like, what's the love for Oakland like that? Because, I mean, for the Raiders, why is it like that from you? Because you're right. When I was in the league, we looked at Oakland as the graveyard, man. That's where you go for your career to kind of be done with. You know what I'm saying? You're going to play some good athletes, this, that, and the third, but you go there for your career to be done with. Why was it so important to you to make sure you retired there and you wanted to be a part of this Raider organization?
See, I always got to say this because I talk about the Raiders so much, people forget. Like, I have some fans say to me, like, dog, you just dog out Tampa. You did 8 years in Tampa. You just dog out. Nah, I love Tampa. I love them. I got a spot in my heart, but I grew up a Raider fan.
I got you.
I was at the Coliseum. I was touching the back of the top of the Coliseum. That's all my parents could afford, but I was in that thing. I was in that thing, though. That's all that matters as a kid. You know what I mean? I was in there.
Yeah.
I was in the parking lot tailgating, playing catch while my pops and his friends barbecue. I grew up through all that when they were great, when they were good. So that's all I experienced. So when I got the opportunity to play for a team I grew up, even though they were on a down and out, I'm like, okay, I feel like it happened for a reason too, because Safford failed his physical. And you know, Tampa, they did me kind of dirty, even though it's past, I'm not mad at them, but they did me dirty. When they released me 5 days in the free agency. About four or five left tackles got signed before that.
Yeah, that's too late.
You feel what I mean? So I hit it, and it was only a few teams. Washington wanted me to play right tackle. I know we're going to get to that later. Y'all saw how that happened. So I got a lot to say on that, because I never, ever expressed my dislike and displeasure for that. But you know, so I didn't have that minute. I'm thinking, like, Raiders, I'm like, man, I'm close to home. I just had two kids. I'm like, I'm close to home. And I'm like, they had, at that point, they were top three in cap space. So I'm thinking, okay, we're going to make some moves. And me talking to them, they say, oh, we're going to hit the free agency hard. We're going to do that. They didn't do it that offseason. They did after that draft pick. We hit free agency hard that next year. We brought Crabtree in. We brought a couple other guys in. We hit it actually that hard. And we had that little suck year. But I really did trust what Reggie was telling me. And Reggie being a black GM too, you know what I mean? It hit me kind of hard. You know what I mean? Like,
different.
And being a former player, I kind of trusted what he did. He did it that next year. And I felt like when I got there, I talked to Marcel before I signed, Marcel Reese, and he sold me too, talking about like these guys were fed up. We're tired of being the old Raiders. Like he said, that's the attitude mentality in the league. And one thing I got to thank for Tampa is I learned how to be a leader. I learned that in my 8 years there because my last 5 years there, I was a leader there. You know what I mean? So I knew if I take my leadership ability, the way I bring my presence to the locker room, I've never been in a locker room where it's been conflict or beef. My locker room, every locker room I've always been, everybody cool, everybody gets along. The white players get along, the black player. The kickers get along with everybody. We joke around. I'm a bag on everybody, no matter who you are. So you better be able to bag back at me. That's how I keep it smooth. So I knew I was going to take that leadership ability to the Raiders along with Marcel was telling me with them being hungry and lead by example. So I thought with me doing that, it would change. But then when they hit that draft class and I started seeing DC and Khalil in practice, a lot of people sleep on, you know, we had Gabe Jackson, third round draft pick. He should be a five-time Pro Bowl. He's up there in Seattle now. I can't wait to see him play. Like Gabe started that year. All Derek started that year. Khalil, Jelly started that year. That was draft class. And then what we did in free agency last year, they did what they said. It started turning around. It was like a fairy tale. It really happened. But I really believe what Reggie was telling me and Marcel, he really sold me on, you know, the locker room being fed up on being – I know what that feels like.
Well, I was going to ask him about Gruden, man. I know you may have been getting there too, man. Like, just talk about the differences and your thoughts about him when you first arrived in Tampa, and then maybe your thoughts about him when you saw him again with the Raiders. You know what I mean? Did your thoughts change on him? Did your opinion of Coach Gruden change? Any?
Did he change?
You know,
yeah, or did he change? There you go.
He definitely did. You know, when I first got in Tampa, I'm on Minnesota's practice squad. I'm in week four of my season, my rookie year, free agent. So when they had somebody got hurt, they called me. I'm like, man, you know, they were just coming out Super Bowl 2 years before that too. So I'm like, oh, you know, I'm watching Gruden. I'm like, I'm nervous. I'm kind of starstruck when I first met him, man. You know, I'm like, man. So I met him, everything. I'm like, I'm in the meetings. I'm like, dang, this dude is really like they say he is. Like you know, like. I fell in love with Gruden. I fell in love with Tampa. I fell in love with his coaching. Like them years in Tampa when he was there, like it was football was fun. Like I was like, oh, this is football. Like he's, you know, we had a lot of bets. We had Brooks, we had Simeon, we had Sheldon Quarles, we had a Joey Galloway. So like camp, I'm like, oh, this is how camp is. Not knowing this ain't really how camp is. This is how a veteran team that has won, that has discipline, gets taken care of. You know, that's how. So I'm thinking, okay, Gruden was a great coach. He was a great communicator. You know, I'm loving that. So then by the time I got to Oakland and I found out he was coming, I'm excited. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Yes, all joy. You know, even though I was sad, like Mike Tyson was a great coach. Jack Del Rio, I mean, I love them. They turned that thing around. I wish they would have gave him another year. I wish they would have gave him another chance after that year. I wish they would give him and not X him that soon because they – Jack and Tice helped me out a lot, you know, as O-line coach, but Jack Del Rio, I thought he really did a great job, you know, turning the thing around and helping it. But, you know, me knowing Gruden's coming in, you know, I was excited. I was like, oh, yeah. And, you know, one thing Gruden did change is he wasn't that angry Chucky as much. I felt like he got older, he matured. Mm-hmm. You know, he was younger back then. He learned a lot of football. Gruden didn't do that. He didn't do as much yelling and as much like, I mean, I had some, yeah, not as much as he used to, like going off, stopping practice, starting stuff over. He'll talk to us a lot more, or he'll go, like, I felt like he'll go in his office and figure out something he could do better instead of taking it out on us. You know, because Gruden was like a yeller. I feel like he eased back at that, being a little older, watching TV, probably, you know, doing the TV, probably going and visiting a lot of teams, seeing how stuff handled different. But, I mean, he was still, I felt like his knowledge
still
shot up.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I got better. I mean, yeah. Really? You know, some of the stuff he still brought back, I knew, but some of the new stuff, I'm like, okay. You know, I'm like, okay, he got some new stuff. But yeah, man, it was just great. I'm having him in there. And, you know, I couldn't wait for him to work with Derek. Because I thought their relationship would be where it's at now. Because Gruden was a great, a great quarterback guy. He's a great quarterback guy.
Knows QB.
Exactly.
Go back to your talking about moving left tackle to right tackle because look at that. I mean, that was when they drafted Colton Miller right? And brought him
in. You know, I never, you know, it was the first time I ever really like spoke on it. Like I never really spoke on it.
You spoke to me like, before about on, it. You spoke to like, me speaking, before about it.
Like speaking on Gruden, like that's one thing he dropped the ball on. Him and Mike Cable, that's one thing he dropped the ball on. And the way they did it, and the way they did it to me, it was just totally wrong. It was just totally fucked up. Then I mean, I'm sorry. I don't even know.
No, you good, bro.
It was just totally wrong. You know, I came off of a Liz Frank injury. I'm coming off of being a two-time Pro Bowler. I don't remember, know too many times where a two-time Pro Bowler just switched for a first-round draft pick. Spots, you know, when they drafted him, I called Gruden that night, like, bro, like, because I was kind of hurt because, you know, Gruden knows me. He knows me from when I was a young dog, you know, to watching me mature. So he knows, like, that injury, like, I was going to do anything to come back from that thing. You know, like, he know how my mentality. So for him, I feel like he gave up on me. He didn't think I was going to come back and be the same. That's why he went to the draft pick. And, you know, he explained to me as a future, like, oh, Donald, you can't play forever. You know, Gruden got a good ways of wording his words. You know what I mean? And at that point in my career with him, I'm older. I'm not that young Donald. I'm going to speak my mind now, you know? So, I let him know, like, you know, then before they did that during the offseason, I'm out there. I'm on PUP. So, I'm training. I'm working my butt off with the trainers. They got me training at left tackle every day. You know, all left tackle stuff. I played right tackle in the league my first 2 years being a swing guy until I started. I never played left tackle ever again. I mean, right tackle ever again. I'm always left tackle. Boom. So for you to do this in year 13 of a guy's career, you know, they tried to compare to talking to Gruden, compared me to how he switched Jerry Rice's position and how he switched Tim Brown. I said, like, coach, you're switching from X to Z. I said, it was running the routes from outside to inside, the same route. I said, you're switching my whole total body, like my whole stuff. So I was kind of mad. And then they forced me to hold out kind of, you know, I'm hurt. Then I'm not to hold out to take a pay cut. So I'm hurt like a week before they're about to take me off PUP. They call me in for a pay cut. Man, ain't no team going to trade me. Ain't no team going to trade for me. I'm on PUP right now, bro. Like, I'm they strong on me. Basically, I couldn't do nothing. What can I do? Either they're going to release me. What's my chance of getting picked up and getting what salary I am going to get from them after getting cut? You know what I mean, Mike? After getting cut, yeah. Come off it was no little injury. It was a career ending injury. You know, the Liz Frank. So they did that. So I'm like, boom, okay. I end up negotiating with that. I was mad about that. I was real mad about that. I was real mad because I just held out. I just held out for the money that I felt owed me because they were underpaying me for so many years when I was there. You know, so I was mad about that. And then, so boom, we get past that. So now I'm ready. First day of practice, we in the meetings. You know, you got the meetings in the morning. Yeah. We in the meetings. Mike, when I tell you, after the meeting, Tom Cable said, Donald, wait up. I waited to meet. I'm like, he said, I got to go get Gruden. I'm like, uh-oh. You know, in the hotel, training camp. I'm like, Gruden, like, what's this about? This is right before the first practice, me coming back practicing. First time we practicing that training camp after this injury. After they've been telling me, you're going left tackle. As soon as you get back, you playing left tackle. We're going to move him over. They tell me that morning before practice. Gruden comes in. Cable, we want you to try right today. Right, 30 minutes before practice, we want you to try right today. If it doesn't work, we're going to put you right back, but we want you to try and see. And then that's when Gruden starts doing his little, you know, famous talk. Yeah, I did this with Tom. I mean, I did this with Tim Brown. I did this with Jerry Rice. I know you could do this. If you could do this, we'll have one of the best lines in the league. Whoop-de-whoop, all this stuff. And you know me, I've always been a team player. I try to avoid drama. Mm-hmm. Try to avoid that. So I'm like, let me go try it. Now I'll tell you, it's so awkward after doing it for so long. Like, it's just like my body was just trained. It just felt, it's like trying to, I gotta tell people, it's like trying to wipe your ass with the other hand, kind of. Mm-hmm. I try to write with your other hand. It's like, I was so used to it, and I was so pissed. I tried my hardest. I was staying after practice. I was getting there early, just trying to work on that step. Everything just felt bad. Then the worst part of it all that had me pissed the most is my Liz Frank foot was my right foot.
Ah.
So when you move to right tackle, Mike, what's your how you stop a bull rush? What leg do you put back to stop a bull rush when you're playing right tackle?
Yeah, you gotta use your right leg, bro.
Your right foot. I don't have no muscle in my calf muscle yet. It still ain't developed yet. So you move your right tackle, you change my power foot to my injured foot. What's the majority of the bull rush DNs do? Number one bull rush. Yeah. I can't plant. I have no power on the right foot. My foot felt numb. A lot of people don't know this too. My foot felt, I played through so much pain that year. So that was another thing that made me mad. Like, why would you not keep me at left? I could plant off that left foot. My inside foot's my hurt foot. I could manage. I could do other, you know, you're making that my power foot now. That's what I'm coming off of. So I was really mad. I tried to do as much as I could during training camp. I tried to. I'm in pain. So nobody knows this. I was getting my foot shot up twice a week just to play.
Yeah.
I only lasted four games. And some of that pain, like the aches, was just so bad because my hips weren't used to that. They were switching. My body wasn't used to that. Then, you know, week four, I tore my groin. From not being, my body just couldn't handle it no more. From being overcompensating, trying to do that, I tore my groin. I really feel I tore my groin because of me playing right tackle. One of the greatest trainers ever, man, H-Rod. He was trainer there. He even said it too. You know, and I truly believe that I tore my groin. And then, you know, I tore my groin. I knew they were going to release me after that year. You know, I knew it was over with. And they tried to have me come back. I could have came back at the end of that year, but I decided not to. But I'm not going to come back for the last five games at right tackle and do even worse than what I was doing before and put that on film, Mike. You feel what I mean?
Yeah.
I was disappointed with them. I didn't know. I figured they weren't going to bring me back, but, you know, I still just kept it respectful. And you know what? A lot of people don't know. I still went back to the team for like the last 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was in the meetings all the time. I'm at practice. Them young guys had nothing to do with me. I was coaching Colton up. I was coaching Parker up. I was in the meetings. Colton sitting right next to me. All the meetings. Coaching them up, telling them what to do. I didn't give up on them. Even though I felt like they gave up on me, the team. I was still in there every day. You know, I could have went back home with my family like I did when I first got hurt for 4 weeks. But I came back. I was out there every day, you know, coaching them up. I'm doing individual.
Wow. Hey,
just.
That's a pro.
You know, just.
That's a pro. That's what it is, Jeezy.
Just doing that. Just being there trying to, you know, my thing is I lead by example. And that was I felt like that's what I was doing, the leadership, you know. But that goes back to being a Raider, though. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I talk with Mark, you know, Mark, you know, once they release me, like, even when I still see him, he still thanks me for doing that, you know. Mm-hmm. That means a lot. That means, you know, for him, I saw him at the charity thing. You know, they had an alumni thing a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, what's up? Get a big hug. And he's like, we talking. He said, you know, I still appreciate you for making that switch. I said, Mark, I said, stop bringing that up. He said, no, I'm going to bring it up. Every time I talk to you, he said, cause I know the big part. And, you know, that means a lot, you know, come from the owner, you know.
Yeah,
that means a lot. Not coming from you. I guess he understands how big it affected me. And I felt like it affected my career too. You know, I felt like, you know, if I would have played left tackle that year, you know, you never know what might happen. Mm. You know, they might never got Trent. They might have kept Colton at right for a couple more years. They switched to left. You never know. Because I know if I would have played left tackle that year, I probably would have been able to play longer. I would have been able to perform the way I was. But I never got to explain that, so a lot of people don't know that. So I appreciate you guys letting me get that off my chest.
No doubt, man. One more question before we let you go. And I know you said you had something about the Washington football team. You know, I remember you were down here for training camp. You and I chopped it up a little bit. You know, you needed some massage therapists and stuff like that. What happened in Washington, real quick before we go? I know you said you wanted to talk about it. What happened, bro? Because, you know, that team has had some ups and downs. And I think when you were there, they were on some low years.
I appreciate Washington. I appreciate Bruce Allen. I appreciate Jay Gruden for giving me the opportunity, Doug Williams. And it's funny, too, because Jay called me. First a guy called me, setting up my workout. They made me work out. That's one thing I was mad about Washington. Why y'all make me work out that year 14? They're going to make me do a workout, man. That's the only thing I was mad about. But I looked at Bill. I said, bro, you ain't Bill Callahan. I said, you ain't seen enough. And bro, they was out there killing me for my workout. Hey, that's the only thing. It was hot out there. It was killing me. But, you know, one thing I respected about Jay, I don't know if he ever told Trent this, but when Jay called me, Jay was like, I need to save my ass because I dropped the ball. on some shit. And he knew Trent, my boy, on your boy. Yeah. He said, I know you heard about it, but he said, I need a left tackle. I need you to come save my ass. Like, boom, boom. So I said, you know, Jay was my guy. Young, I knew young Jay, receiver coach in Tampa, you know. So I said, boom. I said, yeah, we got to make sure it's right. And, you know, Jay's like, man, our cap space is hard. He said, I hope you ain't trying to break the bank. I'm like, man, come on now, Jay. I said, I ain't going to break it, but I said, I'm going to put a dent in that motherfucker. So we laughed and stuff. So I went out there. I talked to Bruce. And, you know, once they told me they dropped the ball on Trent. You know, they told me they dropped the ball on Trent. And I was like, boom. But I told him, before I sign anything or do anything, I'm calling Trent. So me and Trent were playing phone tag. That was my boy. Me and him playing phone. I ain't going to step on nobody's shoes. Or nobody's money, Mike. You already know me. So I called Trent. And Trent was like, D, I'm not playing this year. Go get your money. I'm not playing the whole year. Go do it. He said, I'm actually glad you're there. So I know they're going to be good. Like, boom, that's what he told me. He gave me that blessing. Once Trent gave me the blessing, I'm like, boom, okay. I'm coming. Do I went there. But like when I got there, Mike, like the first practice I got there, Mike, I'm looking around like, it was laid back, Mike. Like laid back, Mike. I was like, man. I'm like, this out. You know, the first practice was a big old brawl. I'm looking at them, but I said, bro, y'all about to make me go back into retirement. Come on, I'm breaking up a fight. Helmets off and stuff. My first day of practice. He talked. Groom got some line running sprint. This is my first day in training camp. I'm like, bro. I'm joking. Groom after. I said, bro, you might send me home. He said, oh, that shit got, he's like, that shit got bad today. We joking around. But when I got there though, I think Groom kind of knew his time was coming up and he was trying to do whatever he could. Because after that fight, I don't know what was happening before that, but after that fight, that day shit tightened up. Like it went from one day of it, me being like, to the next day, it's something totally different. Like, oh, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. You feel what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I kind of felt like, I don't know what happened before that, what was going on before that, but I felt like the writing was kind of on the wall and he was trying to do anything possible to do it. I think the players knew that too. We were trying to win those first couple of games too. I think the players loved him. Yeah. They loved him. They loved Jay. They loved him. That didn't happen. I think they all saw it. And when that first stuff started happening.
Well, when you draft a quarterback that the head coach didn't want, and the owner makes the call, much as they said the owner didn't make the call. The writing's on the wall there. Exactly. You know, so that was a really uncomfortable couple of months before they finally let Jay Gruden go.
Yeah, see, I wasn't there for all that, so I caught the tail end, though. But I felt like the players, they really loved Jay as a coach and stuff like that. But I felt like the writing was really on the wall. And Dan tried to see how the beginning of the season was going to go, and it didn't go his way. And then they brought in Bill. I thought they did a tremendous job. I know they brought in the guy they have now, Rivera. He's a great coach. I played against him many times, though. But I really wish they would have gave Bill another shot at it. I love Bill. Bill's a great O-line coach.
Great O-line coach. One of the best in the biz with DP.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
Can't thank you enough for stopping by the Total Access Podcast Show, man. Thank you so much for dropping by. And that'll do it for this week's episode of Total Access, The Locker Room. And for more insight with The Locker Room Point of View, check out our latest episodes every Wednesday and Friday on Apple and Spotify.